Welcome to TSW After Dark Side, a fully armed and uncensored podcast platform.
I mean, we can't say black cock.
No, it's the opposite. We can say as much as we want, surely.
Oh, yeah, because this is the after dark side. You can say what you want. You can say you can have as many cocks as you want, Steve.
Oh, will you please put in that so that people can see what we're talking about?
No, I'm not putting any. I'm going to put the explicit tag on the podcast, and then people can be left to their own decisions about many black cocks you want.
What's really good is I've seen this on iTunes because I looked it up on the Talk Star Wars iTunes on the iTunes store, and it does differentiate between the explicit and the clean, which is really cool.
Yes.
Yeah. One thing that I found really interesting about my hosting service is that the Crazy Train, the show itself as a whole, shows up as explicit, but each individual episode shows up as clean. And I don't understand why.
Was it automatically?
It must be. It doesn't seem to give me the option to change it when I upload a new episode. So I applied it to the whole series as a bolt because I knew what it was going to be like before we started even doing it. But it doesn't show each individual episode shows as clean, but the whole series shows as explicit. So I don't know how iTunes doesn't reconcile that. It's weird.
Yeah, I don't know.
See that link? Are you recording, Mark?
I am. Yeah.
Yeah, that link makes it sound even worse because the link is Princess General Leia to appear in Dubrovnik. So it's like the big black dildo that is her outfit
just appears, pop up
Dubrovnik.
Yeah, just
with,
a pops
with
up
the bollocks hanging out the back.
Yeah,
that is so wrong. You need to put that link in for people, Mark, because that is the most hilarious thing. People on that plane looking down the aisle at that picture.
Yeah.
Why is that bloke holding up a big black cock?
Yeah, what you don't see behind the camera is a lot of shocked kids, little Croatian kids that were just going home, minding their own business. Yeah. And then there's some American dude showing them a big black cock on a piece of paper.
I want the first line of episode 8 that somebody says to Leia to be, "I can't imagine how hard it is for you." And she's like, "Well, I do look like a big black cock."
Oh my god!
Right, I'm going to do a little. This is all going to go pre-intro, so I'm just going to do a semi professional intro. Great kid, don't get cocky.
Would they have circumcised penises in the Star Wars?
That's a great place to cut.
Because why would they be circumcised? They would have seen the advantages of keeping.
I see what you did there.
Thanks.
Yeah, good point.
I see what you did there now.
I'm so proud of how low the bar is on the After
Dark. It's brilliant.
This is episode two of After Dark. So, Rob, you're talking all over my professional intro.
Sorry.
I've demoted my PlayStation 4.
You what?
I've demoted my PlayStation 4.
Ooh,
to what?
That's the giant first world decision that I made this week.
All right.
It now lives in my bedroom, where its only responsibility is to be occasionally sniffed by the dog.
What?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
You got a PlayStation 4 to be sniffed by a dog?
Yeah. I've got my main game station in the lounge now is a PlayStation 3.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Wow. Is that because of The Last of Us?
No, because The Last of Us I bought on PlayStation 4.
I was going to say you can get it on PS4. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So what the hell are you playing on the PS3 that you'd rather play than play on a PS4?
Blu-rays.
Oh, well, yeah, but you play them on a PS4.
Not well.
Yeah.
Not well.
Oh, okay.
What do you mean not well?
Not well.
The software not as good?
Such a freaking nightmare using that PlayStation 4 to watch movies.
Mark, it's After Dark Side, you can say fuck.
Yeah, that's true.
Sorry.
Like a couple of times I've got this Harmony Ultimate remote control, right? It's an all-in-one remote control. Steve, you've seen it, haven't you?
I know the ones, yeah.
You can pre-program it, so I press one little icon on the touchscreen, and then it turns on my amp, turns over the TV input, turns on whatever the input device is, if it's Apple TV or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
PlayStation 4 will not, absolutely will not play nice with that.
Blimey.
It does, and the PlayStation 4 cannot be switched on by an external source other than the 6-axis controller.
That's really silly.
So I have to use a 6-axis controller to control my Blu-rays. So as soon as I put it down, it starts fast-forwarding through the bloody film.
Yeah.
So I've had a gutful of it, so it's gone. PlayStation 3 does everything I want it to do.
You've got Uncharted 4 coming out soon.
I just won't play it. You know what?
Can I have a PS4 just to sit underneath my one?
If you want. Well, you can try and breed them. You know, yes. They're going to pump out a bunch of little Vitas. You're going to open an illegal Vita farm.
You've got No Man's Sky coming out in June. You will want your PS4.
No, because I'm just going to get a screensaver. We've already spoken about this. You're just being duped.
Oh, this is great. I'm just listening to this. It's just a slap fight. This is brilliant.
I can't believe that.
Slap his tits off.
I am going to be playing, what is it, Rainbow Six Las Vegas.
Oh, okay. That's all right. Yeah, I quite like that game. Yeah.
What, on PS3?
On PS3, yep.
Yeah, you got Rainbow Six Vegas, yeah.
Yes, but I couldn't play a PS3 now if you play purely because I got PS4 and it's better.
I was playing one today. They're still pretty good.
It's good for games, but it is not a good all-round machine.
No. Well, that's what they've locked down. You used to be able to play anything on a PS3. MKVs, AVIs, and everything.
Yeah.
It's not backwards compatible, so I can't get that the use help out of my somewhat extensive library of, by my standards, of PS3 games. I
have to get the PlayStation something. There's a new... Now, thank you.
And tell you what, right? I'm going to go on a little rant here. So I preface this in advance. So I warn you in advance, it's going to be a bit of a rant. But why the fuck is Sony still charging 15 bloody quid a month for PlayStation Now when Xbox One is backwards compatible? Why? It doesn't make sense.
Because Xbox One is almost out of the race and Sony can do anything they bloody want.
I mean, if you think of it in terms of a race with Sony, then yeah, Xbox is well behind, right? But if you think of it in terms of a race with 360, which is how a lot of these successes are measured, then Xbox One is steaming ahead because it sold significantly better over a certain period than Xbox 360 did. It's just that Sony has sold so many PS4s in defiance of almost all logic, because everybody was expecting it to do well. Nobody was expecting it to do this well. I think Sony would be the most surprised out of all of us.
Is clarified in the market, which is what we all knew as consumers, is that people want the best graphics and the most power and the most fidelity, the most dynamic experience, the most AI. And you only get that with power from the machines. And then Xbox One goes, no, people want multimedia. They want to watch their football while they're playing a game.
That and side of things, yeah, I agree with
all
you.
All that shit that no one gives a fuck about. No, 99% of players want to sit down and just play a game really well and look and go, oh my God, these graphics are amazing.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you on that one. Now, it's another separate rant of mine that when people crow about, oh, I want something new, they don't, and they should stop kidding themselves. They want shiny versions of what they know, and that's the reality of it. It's true. You can look at anything, and it's the case. And, even VR is a shiny version of, the kind of original VR concept. It's these are not new grounds. These are all
and you know why
they're trodden
not
ones.
Ground, don't
you? Go on.
You know, because we haven't evolved another leg or another dimension of being able to absorb information. We are the same human beings we were 40 years ago.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know.
So, until we do that, they're always going to be the same. And you're absolutely right. We want raw power and lots of it.
Yeah, this is it. I mean, there are certain things that I mean, bear in mind, I have an Xbox One and a PS4. There are certain things I love about my Xbox One, which PS4 does not do as well. It's just one of those things for me that it's just there are certain things that one does better than the other. But that's also true in reverse as well. You know, it's one of those things I've just come to accept. There are certain limitations to both systems. With the PS4, I think I've talked about it before, the sharing stuff brings you out of the game, whereas on Xbox One, it's a lot more intuitive. But the sharing options are better on PS4. Xbox One, I think, does a better job of things like, to an extent, it makes your game collection easier to find on your system, but buying them is awful. The store on the Xbox One compared to PS4 is fucking atrocious. And it's one of those things they're improving, but, it's just one of those things that's not very good.
No, I concur with that.
Yeah,
but it still doesn't excuse Mark for putting his PS4
upstairs. And I will offer up another argument to elaborate on my "it does" statement. I bought Call of Duty Ghosts for $3.99.
Nice.
Thanks very much. That's about the same price as a Boots deal. Boots
now, hang on. So I'll top that. I bought it on. I paid $7.99 for my copy, and I got it on Xbox One and Xbox 360. Something like that. I can't remember how much it was. It wasn't much. It was relatively cheap.
I don't know it was Xbox One.
No, but that's fair enough. But I mean, the point is, I got two copies of the game essentially for the price of one, because the way they do their digital code stuff is all, you know, relatively well synced. And it actually, when they're doing, you know, this games with like the PlayStation Plus and games with gold and stuff, they give away the free games.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on Xbox, when you get a 360 game come into the mix, it's already been made backwards compatible either before or at that point. So that as soon as you get the 360 games in the deal, you can actually play them on Xbox One, which is quite cool. Don't have that on PS4 yet.
No. It's because Sony, for the most
part,
blows goats.
I'd like to see it. I'd like to see them do a backwards compatible option. I just think that they're so convinced that this PlayStation Now is going to catch on, and I just can't see it. I really can't.
People don't want to pay for content. They certainly don't want to pay for content they've already paid for.
Exactly. This is exactly it. So, like, you know, you talk about Netflix. It's an awesome way to kind of to stream, and it's a really nice service. Amazon Prime's also a really nice service, but just PlayStation Now, I just don't get it. I really don't. You know, like you say, you're paying for stuff that you've already got, and it's just expensive.
Yeah,
it's
a false economy. And
now I'm gonna double check this, because I've said this to myself. I've just made myself a little bit skeptical that I've maybe got the cost wrong. Let me check this.
We need to talk about two other things as well that have happened this week that really got my juices flowing.
Hang on, so just before we go on, slight correction, it's $12.99 a month, which is still twice as much as it should be.
See, this is the other thing as well. The only reason I got the PlayStation 4 was for Battlefront. And then I didn't buy Battlefront because there's no campaign mode. And I don't want to have to, because I'm a casual gamer, I don't want to have to spend money to be able to play games online. Yeah. The few times I do play it, and I'm never going to be... I mean, Steve, you and I are never in the same place at the same time to play games. We barely get to schedule this podcast, so...
Certainly been more difficult recently.
Mileage out of it, yeah. So it's...
You would enjoy Battlefront online, though, Mark, playing with us, because it's awesome.
I would, but, you know, it's like giving a baby a handgun at the end of the day. I'm going to be absolutely crap at it, and it's going to be messy and reasonably destructive.
And that is why I'm not allowed to run a nursery anymore. For exactly that reason.
Right.
Because I thought it'd be awesome. And no, I was so wrong.
Discussion point number two.
All right.
The Ghostbusters trailer came out while we were off.
Yes. Yes, it did.
Have at it, chaps.
Oh, I just think it looks very polished, but does nothing for me at all.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Steve on this one. You know what concerns me more about the trailer is this undercurrent in the news of, I just get this feeling like I could go and see that film, and if I say I don't like it, it will be assumed that it's because I'm a sexist.
Yes,
I'm glad. Yeah.
That's my that. I hate that.
Something
shit.
I really wanted to hit on. I'm glad you brought that up.
Don't hit on it, Mark. That's sexist in itself.
I must just say,
leave it to have its autonomy, whatever the hell you'd say.
I just wanted to, before we let Rob light numerous sticks of dynamite underneath this issue, I just want to say that I love that trailer. I'm really looking forward to watching that film on Blu-ray and PS3. I did enjoy the trailer. I see what you see what you're saying, Steve. It's gorgeous, really well polished and well produced and everything. I like the look of it, considering at the start I thought it was terrible and I wanted to light a torch and chase it out of the village with a pitchfork. Point you brought up, Rob, about how provocative it is to say anything negative against Ghostbusters because you'll be an assumed racist and an assumed sexist if you do. But I think there's something more deadly at play under the surface of this film, which is, what the hell is it? Is it a sequel? Is it a reboot?
Mm. It seems like a reboot to me, because it's like, even to the point where there's three of them, three white girls, and then a little bit later on, when they realise, oh my God, we haven't cast a black person in this movie, the black girl comes in.
Which is essentially the way they treated the original cast.
Which is how the original was. Like, and they've done that. They didn't even need to. They might have just brought the black person in at the beginning.
They should have just called him Token.
Like, they should have brought Mayer's black dildo in, like, right at the start.
Well, you know...
And the other thing I was going to say is, if no one else has done it, this is ours, we own it, we are going to make a Leia Han funeral dildo and then sell it. Because it's going to be awesome.
The Han Solo...
Under official Disney merchandise.
It should be a memorial candle, so it should have a wick coming out the end of it.
And you can put the mouse ears on the end, so it's Disney-themed as well.
Yeah, that's it.
That would be awesome. The mouse ears on the helm.
We'll start doing some research into licensing that, Steve.
People need to... Don't Google big black dildo. No, don't that won't come up.
Don't dildo.
Just look at the link.
Tell you what, right? So this is for Talk Star Wars fans. What you can do is, I'm curious about this. Google it with the safe search set to strict. I want to see what happens.
What, Star Wars big black Leia dildo?
Why not? Yeah, if you get zero results, fair enough. I'm just curious.
If you search big black,
we're not the only people.
Steve,
go on.
Search big black Leia and see what. Oh God.
Or big black Leia.
Search big black Leia and see what cosplay results you get.
God, I'm doing it now. I don't care.
He's all over it.
Yeah. Oh, good God. Why did you make me do this?
You have to put a couple of links.
Okay, no. I'll tell you what, actually. This has been pretty tame, so it's fine. I've got Safe Search Moderate, so I've just about got away with that. I don't have Safe Search on at all. It's one shot of Princess Leia just from... it's Carrie Fisher from New Hope. One's an action... It's an action figure, cosplay, action figure, drawing, action figure. Yeah, I see a theme here. However, let's have a look at this one. Black Leia cosplay. There's some nice shots in there.
Has anyone else realised that looks like a big black cock, other than us? Like, if you put... black...
God. Mackerel.
Your search strings, Steve, are hilarious.
I've only just got this broadband. You're going to get me on a watch list.
Put something like black penis-shaped dress.
The CIA are going to be listening to this podcast after what you said on the last one.
No, we didn't. We only said B-O-M-B. You can say B-O-M. You can't say bomb. Oh, no, I've said bomb.
Oh, bollocks.
Look, I was trying to make a point about Ghostbusters before we went off on the Princess Leia black penis thing. You know the way the trailer starts with the 30 years ago, four scientists and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah.
Isn't that not confusing it a little bit? Because haven't they been saying from the start that this was all a reboot?
Are there any cameos in it?
Yeah.
Like, are the three remaining people going to be in it?
Bill and Dan are in it.
Oh, okay, so it's not a remake then. It's kind of... Then but they're I passing the...
I don't know if the they're sequel. Playing those characters.
Oh.
I mean, right now...
Oh, my God, really?
Right now, the best thing I think they could do would be to have it be a sequel and have the original Ghostbusters sell the franchise to the ladies. And that would be a nice, smooth transition. You're not... You know... We're not ruffling.
I get all the woman empowerment and all this, and I don't have a problem with it at all. But I'm totally with you. Are they doing it for the sake of it, or they're doing it because it's a really good idea? I don't think they are.
Yeah.
Pisses me off.
Go on, Rob.
So I've just been doing a little bit of research, and we are not the first people to notice the phallic overtones of that costume. The only article I can find apart from the original photo. The original one I found is from the Daily Mail's website. Apparently, so this is interesting. Apparently, that tweet was deleted hastily afterwards.
Oh, was it?
So interesting.
What,
so somebody's
of the
obviously.
Shape?
So they somebody knew. No, because they think they've. By the sounds of it, they think they might have let something slip.
Yeah.
So actually, in the in the comments, somebody says, spoiler, mourning costume for Han's funeral. So maybe they've caught on to the same theme as we have, not to the same degree, because obviously they've not thought about it as hard as I have, and we have. And, you know.
Everything you're saying.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord.
I think it's a bit of a balls up, wasn't it?
Someone's going to get the shaft over that.
Yeah. Oh, it's fine.
Helmets must be worn at all times.
You beat me
so we're not the only people. But make the big, the actual merchandise to sell it. No one's done that yet.
Nobody, as far as I can see, has trademarked the concept of a...
I mean, all you've got to do is just go out and buy 10,000 black cocks, which all, you know, and then staple Leia's face on the helm.
All you have to do.
No, but it's easy.
Steve, you get a discount on
Amazon.com. Don't have to make a dress.
Steve, we've been going on a theme about how we are in favour of women's empowerment and so on. Please do not tell me you're going to release a dildo with staples in it.
Not a good idea. Well, no. can you use crazy glue, or is that bad? Would that give you thrush?
Blue tack.
I don't know. Never tried it.
Blue tack's the only responsible way to go.
I don't think that would be good for your
innards. Not at all.
Squeeze that right out.
Well, I'd rather have crazy glue in its liquid form.
I'd sooner have fucking duct tape than fucking blue tack.
Blue tack's not going to work. I think a water-soluble glue, or even, like, now you've made it...
No. That's a disaster waiting to happen, because when you get water-soluble glue, Carrie Fisher's face gets lost, and you can't have that.
And then 6 months later, you're all of a sudden, you look in the loo, and Carrie Fisher's floating around.
Exactly. Six months, bloody...
Where did we land on the Ghostbusters thing anyway? I'm giving it a thumbs up. Is anyone else?
My kind of thumbs hovering in the middle. It could go either way for me.
That's what she said.
I really like all of the actors that are in it.
Kristen Wiig's fantastic.
I love them all. I think the lady that I can't remember that was in St. Vincent should get an Oscar for that. She was
Melissa
amazing.
McCarthy.
Oh, she's fantastic.
I'm not a fan of hers. I will say there is one film I've seen her in which I really enjoyed, which was, what's it called?
What, the one where she's a thief?
No, she's in it with Sandra Bullock. It's a cop film. What the fuck is
Heat.
It called?
Heat.
The Heat, that's it. The Heat, yes. And she's in that with Sandra Bullock, and that's a really good movie, and Sandra Bullock's fucking fantastic in that. She plays this kind of really dowdy cop who's never, like, she's never, you know, never had a boyfriend and stuff, because she's really fixed on the job and stuff, so she's like a workaholic, and so she doesn't socialize or anything like that, and it's just this kind of, she's gradually brought more towards a sort of social animal, and then Melissa McCarthy's brought more in line, because she's the worst cop ever, because she does everything the opposite of the book, and she's terrible, you know, she gets in loads of trouble and always gets in gunfights and the most innocuous things. It's just a really fun movie. I watched it on holiday in Singapore, in English, because everything there is in English, but, you know, it's a good movie. I recommend it. I think it's called, I think The Heat sounds right.
I've seen it.
I think this is going to be a cash cow, this movie, and they don't care if it's similar.
I don't know if it is.
I think they've made it as a cash cow. They don't care if it's similar to the original. It's got the same plot. Mm. They know it will make money because people will just go and see it because there's nothing much else on and
maybe,
let's go to the movies.
I just think that it will trade on the name to a certain degree, but I actually don't know how much it will do. And like I say, what annoys me is I can already see this undercurrent of... It's very clever in the way they've done it. It's this kind of media interpretation of... You know, if this film does badly, it's only because the world's a sexist place. And it's like, well, come on. Like, you just kind of excuse yourself from making a bad movie then, don't you? You can't just be because it's not very good. There has to be some grand scheme behind it to put it down. You know what I mean? Like, it's like if they'd done it so that if Star Wars flopped, it would have been because Finn was black. You know what I mean? It feels very kind of disingenuous.
Contrived.
Yeah, disingenuous and contrived. That's one thing that about the kind of current media culture that really pisses me off. And actually, funnily enough, we didn't talk about it in the show, and it's something I picked up on. You saw the thing, I know you did, Mark, about Daisy Ridley.
About
her weight, right?
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Right, so there's a bit of it that disgusts me even more. So So, Steve, if you're not familiar with this, there was a post on Daisy Ridley's Instagram, which was a screenshot of her from the film with a little speech bubble that said, "I can't believe they cast me in this role. Don't they know real women have curves?" Right, and the idea is that she's too skinny. That's the implication from the picture. And she put it on there saying, "Oh, you know, real women come in all shapes and sizes, and I'm proud of my shape and figure and all that stuff." And good for her, right? And no point am I taken away from this. The media ran with Daisy Ridley shuts down body shaming on Instagram and blah blah blah. Some people looked into it and found the source of the picture, which was a 14-year-old Danish girl. And 1.4 million people, I don't know if, I'm not suggesting they're all complicit in this, but a volume of Daisy Ridley's followers started to harass this girl. No. Right, it gets worse. Okay, now this is a bit that really pisses me off. The girl has learning difficulties and put the piece up as a satirical picture. And actually, it would have taken all these mainstream media outlets 5 minutes to find this out, because when I read it, the guy who wrote the blog about kind of explaining what had gone on said he found it in a couple of clicks. And it annoys me that they went with that rather than doing their bit of research, because actually what they've done is ruin a young girl's life. And it really, really fucks me off.
Yeah, well, that is the media for you. You can't write good stuff when there's bad stuff.
It's also the mob
mentality. Why write about something good when you can make up something bad?
There's mob mentality in fandom as well, though, that people need to wield that power a little bit more responsibly when they're a member of a huge force like Star Wars fans. They can't just gang up on somebody
and bully a small girl.
If she was a person doing something legitimately thoughtless and poorly judged, she still doesn't deserve the might of 1.4 million people.
Absolutely not. And again, I'm not going to suggest that 1.4 million people acted and engaged in this behaviour, but the people who did should be fucking ashamed of themselves. It's just horrendous. If I had, let's say I was a big deal. I know I'm not, but let's say I was. Well, I know I am to you, and I appreciate that. but I do worry about your standards.
What standards?
Let's say between Talk Star Wars and Emotionally 14, I'd garnered a significant following. Right now, I have a following, and it's not insignificant, and I do appreciate it all. But the point is, I don't have 1.4 million followers. If I saw any of my followers engaging in that sort of behavior, I'd be fucking ashamed of them, and I'd be calling them out more than anybody else, because that sort of shit's not on. It's not the way to behave.
We've all got a responsibility to sort of hold the people we speak for and to higher standards. We've always said on Talk Star Wars that Star Wars fandom is a family.
Yes.
And we need to hold each other to reasonably high standards. You know, we don't beat up on each other. We don't ridicule each other. You know, there's no room for the world's a dark enough place. We're talking about Star Wars at the end of the day. We're talking about a science fiction movie that we all go and get a lot of joy out of. It's not a place for a political agenda.
No.
We've got a different understanding of what the internet's about. We were all around when the internet started 25 years ago. Whereas kids today, they see the internet in a completely different way we see it. They see it as an open avenue to saying what your mind would normally shut off and keep quiet about.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the sad truth of it is, a friend of mine on one of the Crazy Train guys said this, and he's absolutely right. If in the old days before the internet, or when the internet was in its infancy, if you said something abhorrent in your social circle, there would be enough people around you who didn't feel that way, who would question you enough that maybe your opinion changed. Maybe it doesn't, but the point is, you have a discussion. Now you are connected to everybody on the earth potentially, and there are enough people on the earth who think the same way that you do that you will be enabled by it, and you will feel right. And that's the trouble with it, is ultimately, you know, I actually think that we weren't ready for the internet in its current form. We shouldn't have got it so fast, because we've just, you know, as a society, we've just kind of, we've taken a lot of it for granted. And kids growing up today, it makes me sound like a crotchety old man, but kids today genuinely take so much stuff for granted when it comes to this stuff. It's unreal. Anybody who's ever used a dial-up modem knows my pain when I say this stuff, you know, because it's, you know, I've been connected up to the broadband this week, and it's all, you know, supposedly it's fiber optic. I'm not seeing speeds to justify that, but the point is, I have, you know, I have this constant internet stream that goes to all my devices. I have a smartphone in my hand that will let me access data from fucking space and beam it onto this device. I can use it to do anything within reason I want. Bearing in mind it's a Windows phone, half the apps aren't available. But the point is, seriously, but the point is, I've got this this device of immeasurable power, more powerful than some of the first computers ever made. And what do we do with it?
More powerful than all the first computers ever made put together.
Quite exactly. And what do we do with it? We, you know, and I mean, there's nothing inherently wrong with sharing cat pictures.
This is a podcast about big black layer dildos.
Yeah, and we appreciate that.
Pictures of our lunch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We do that stuff. And there's nothing inherently wrong with that. But it just feels like we probably got too much too fast when it comes to this sort of tech. You know?
Yeah, I agree with you. Good point.
I don't know.
Well, you're talking 20... You're talking 15, really 15 years since everything went ballistic and kicked off.
Absolutely.
And exponentially got better and better, or worse and worse, depending on
after the kind of early 2000s where the bubble burst briefly and loads of media, there was loads of, you know, startups and stuff that went bust and loads of companies fell through and fell under, and, you know,
and eBay was a penny a share.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's one of those things like, you know, we forget that as recently as 97, Apple were a quarter from oblivion. And, you know, it took a load of smart moves on the part of people like Steve Jobs to bring it back from the edge of oblivion. But it was so close to being done with because it was just tanking through the floor. And, you know, it doesn't take much to turn things around. And it doesn't take a lot of time for things to change completely, such as the world in which we live. Mm. You know, but let's bring it on onto a more of an up note, because I feel like we went on a bit of a, I went on a bit of a downer there, and I apologize. It's annoying because I've been saying for years that I like to be a force for positivity on the net, and I went a bit into sort of, you know, I turned to the dark side for a minute there, and I feel a bit bad.
It's all right.
This is the
We like Ghostbusters in principle, but we don't. We're not utterly convinced that it hasn't been made for wrong reasons.
Oh, you broke up there, Steve. Yeah. You broke up a little bit.
I think he said made for the wrong reasons.
I think he said he likes Ghostbusters, but he doesn't like women or black people. I think that's what he said. Right, moving on from Steve's questionable statement.
No, don't you dare! Don't you dare explain.
I met Fatima Whitbread once.
One more question for the evening, then.
All right.
Captain America: Civil War.
Ooh.
Did you see the trailer this week?
Yes, I did.
Stephen?
The Spidey eyes.
Pretty damn good, right?
It was pretty damn good.
Pretty.
So is the question Team Cap or Team Iron Man? Because it should be.
Yeah. Where are we with that?
I think we're being played with what happens in there anyway. I think they get on fine. I think it's all just... It's a bit like the Hulk's... You know the Hulk suit in the last Avengers? There wasn't a big thing with the Hulk and Iron Man. It was only a few minutes long, and then they were back together.
True, yeah.
And I think that, although you do see them rushing together, the two teams, don't you?
You do, yeah. But stop a foot apart and then have a big hug. And
I think they do. Yeah, and that's when Spidey comes down and it's
they're playing a big game of chicken.
I've seen that scene. I know what happens.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a it's a dance-off. With like electro boogaloo,
you motherfucker!
People, they just sort of all start facing each other. Doing
I thought
you'd
genuinely seen the scene, you bastard!
Yeah, it's all scored by Fatboy Slim as well, which I thought
it's Paul McCartney pipes of Pete.
It was a strange choice. That is actually pipes of Pete used in the post credit sting.
Oh bloody hell!
I don't know. It does nothing for me because I'm not really into it.
It's just a shot. It's just a shot of Thanos sitting on his throne, just going. They think they can dance. I'll fucking show them. And then it's like Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Electric Boogaloo.
Galactic Boogaloo. There you go.
Yeah,
I'm kind of on the fence. I don't know.
Are you?
Those films have never done anything for me. So Guardians of the Galaxy is the only one that I absolutely love.
Oh, the second one's got to be
Winter Soldier, though.
Yeah, it was all right. It was. Would I go and... I haven't seen many of them at the movies. And when I have, they've been... I saw Winter Soldier, didn't we? I see that with you, Mark.
Yes.
Yeah, and that was all right, the movies. But they're never my favourite films. They're too shallow for me.
I liked Winter Soldier quite a bit.
I really like it.
There was a really good... Somebody pointed out to me, and I never really thought about it until they said it, but it is quite true. I mean, how many of the Avengers separate films have you guys seen? In terms of not the Avengers movies, the movies around the Avengers individually.
I've seen them all.
Seen them all. Mm. Okay, so one thing that he said, pointed out, was really cool about the films that built up to Age of Ultron was that every character had lost what was a core part of their character. So Thor had lost his family, has lost the connection to his family. Iron Man had lost his kind of suave and his effortless machismo because he was PTSD'd in Iron Man 3, mm-hmm. which was handled superbly, by the way. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah.
And Captain America had lost his unshakable faith in the system because of Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Because obviously the whole thing is like, it's all a Hydra plot to sort of take over the government and stuff.
Yeah.
So all of those characters had something taken away from them in the build-up to Age of Ultron. So they were all starting off weak.
ED, which is surprising because he was married to Linda Cardellini, so I don't know how he managed that.
Well, quite. Yeah.
For those of you who are under 40, ED is erectile dysfunction. Isn't it, Steve?
For those of you over 40, it's something we don't talk about.
Yeah. The first rule of ED.
Do you actually
club.
Have to try and have an erection? Have the it, first Javi. Rule. I don't know if I've got ED.
Steve, you're making
I've been
it hard.
For 10 years. I don't know if I've got it. I don't want to find out. I'd rather never have an erection again. That way I never have to be disappointed.
This episode quoted. Should be called Thumbing in a Slacky with the TSW crew.
I think not knowing is better than knowing.
Mm. Knowing is half the battle. The other half is the erection itself. Yeah, I think that was the bit that was cut from G.I. Joe. Yeah, I'm excited about Civil War. I've Captain America's of the individual Avengers is my personal favorite. I don't really know why though, because it's kind of give you a bit of depth into my comic sort of interests. I like characters who are generally are like mortals. You know, I'm not really big on the Thors and the people like that who can't really be killed. So why bother caring? I can't at all care about Superman as a character. I just can't because he's so untroubleable. He's like Captain Scarlet. You ever watch Captain Scarlet?
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck? Mm. Right? Because who gives a shit what happens to him? Because he can't be killed.
That's
right?
An episode title. Who gives a fuck about Captain Scarlet?
That's what annoys me about. I read an article in the week about Batman versus Superman, and yes. They said, "Look, it's all. I know it's going off the comic, and what actually had it happened in that comic,
Dark Knight Returns, I think.
Dark Knight, yeah, and all that. But really, in the real world, Superman could kill Batman in an instant.
He could kill him at the dinner party.
If he really wanted to, he could throw the moon into the earth and kill everyone. And just
yeah, see, we forget that way. This is the thing. I was having this conversation with some friends the other day. It's kind of interesting that this has popped up again. I'm a fan of there's a miniatures game called HeroClix, which is like sort of it's a bit like things like Warhammer and stuff, but it's superheroes and they're all kind of individual little pieces. They come pre-painted rather than having to paint them and assemble them yourself, which I'm really happy with because I'm shit at that stuff. And one of the things we were talking about is why is Clark Kent so much weaker on a HeroClix thing than Superman, bearing in mind that the only difference is that he's in a suit and a pair of glasses. He's still got all the Clark Kent powers because he's still Superman. He's still Kal-El. So why would he be weaker by being Clark Kent?
Because I would argue it's because of the need to disguise himself.
Sure, I understand that, and I mean there's something to be said for that, but I mean when you're talking about, you know, like the game itself, like the HeroClix game is a battle game. It's about one team versus another. Why would you weaken Clark Kent when he doesn't need to hide and he's in a fight? It doesn't make sense to me. And so it's like Steve's absolutely spot on. He could go to that dinner party there in the trailer, where they're just having a bit of an intense discussion back and forth, and he could just laser eye him in the face and just be like, what?
Well, he could make a laser so thin that it's imperceptible to anyone else and just chop his brain in half.
Exactly. And all that, everybody else would be like, what the hell just happened?
What
but,
if
you know,
that is the opening scene? Be well, if that's the opening scene of Batman vs. Superman.
Well, even if
just gives him a full frontal lobotomy. The opening
even
5 minutes.
If he's got a kryptonite suit.
And the rest of the film is a coma dream.
Yeah, even if he had a kryptonite suit, which I imagine he does at some point, like, just throw a massive 1,000-ton rock on Batman from a mile away.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Sorted. Yeah,
you this is it. You know.
See, Marvel have taken note of those sort of things, and most of this lineup of Avengers in this movie are mortals, with the possible exception of
Thor.
No, because he's not in it.
Ultron.
Oh, in Civil War. Sorry, right. Yeah. Black Panther, maybe. He's kind of unknown.
Well,
I don't really know much about the character.
Scarlet,
to be honest.
Scarlet Witch is a little bit more.
Oh yeah, I suppose so. Yeah.
Godlike, and maybe the Vision, but yeah, they've taken Thor and Hulk away.
Certainly more godlike than their brother.
Well, yeah, I mean, unless he rose 3 days later.
In terms of immortality, he is crap at it.
Yeah, he is crap at it.
He really is crap at it.
But they very deliberately removed Thor and Hulk from the movie because...
Civil War.
Yeah, how can you stop it?
Yeah, it's true. It's a fair point.
You can't stop either of those characters, can you?
No, this is it, you know. The best you can do is cheer Bruce Banner up as he's trying to smack you in the face.
Yeah.
Hey, kittens, puppies, look out.
Yeah, I do. Well, what you can do is create a character that can nearly defeat them that is on the same level. But like they'd never die.
Yeah, this is it.
Look how Hulk threw that, what's his name, around?
Loki.
Thor. Cumberbatch.
He threw Thor around.
Yeah, you know? And it like whacked him into the ground like 10 times and it was like, oh, he just got up and he hasn't got a scratch.
Yeah,
it does get a bit silly, really, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. So on the subject, actually, of Marvel... What's everybody think of the upcoming Doctor Strange? Because we talked about Cumberbatch, and he's obviously playing Doctor Strange himself in that. Is everybody following that one?
Yes.
No, not at all.
I'm very keen.
Mm. Intrigued. I'm not really. I'm not hugely knowledgeable on the character. My dad was a big fan growing up.
It's going to be more mystical.
Yes, very much so. It kind of has to be, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's all he's obviously a sort of, you know, the most powerful magician or something like that in the world.
And he's got a gateway.
Wasn't there
to
nudes
hell
on the Punisher in the week as well?
Yeah. Yes,
oh, saw his armour. Did you see the armour? It looks like the Kevlar looks like a skull.
Yes. It's
so
awesome.
Freaking awesome.
This is the thing. So going back to what I was saying about heroes I like, the heroes I like are mortal. He is one of my favourites for that exact reason. He is just a pissed off bloke. And I really like that about him. So here's a question, right? And I'll get your opinions on this. Why do you think, bearing that in mind, so I like characters who are mortal rather than the kind of genetically engineered altered ones or whatever, or the immortals. Why don't I like Iron Man?
Because he's sort of, it's really his suit that's immortal and he's just living safely inside it.
So I suppose maybe I like Tony Stark and don't like Iron Man.
It's a bit like the other one. What's the other one? The other suit and that with Don
War Machine.
War Machine.
War Machine. That character is like completely wasted in those shows. I mean, it's a nothing. You know, for a start, they should never have got rid of the original actor that played.
Terrence Howard.
Terrence Howard, thank you.
Terrence Stamp would be a very different Rhodes.
I mean, Superman mode.
Rhodes.
Yeah, Terrence Howard, whatever his name, was awesome in the first one. And then it's a bit like, I don't know if it was a money thing, but
it was.
He was brilliant.
I don't know. Yeah,
not that Don Cheadle isn't awesome. The only thing he's not awesome at is doing a British accent. But He was great, but the whole character, I just don't get it. Does nothing for me. You've got Iron Man. What do you? War Machine's just. Well, you might as well chuck anyone in a suit. They're not really super. It's a suit that's super.
See, this is the thing. This is one of those things. I'll only enjoy a Superman story arc or with something like that where they do something, they take a twist on it rather than just doing the straight, you know, Superman versus blank. Who's going to win? Oh, it's Superman, isn't it? Of course. The things like Red Sun, where he is, where it's like a sort of what if timeline where he got, he landed in Russia rather than the States. And stuff like that, I find more interesting. And War Machine, I think, turns up. I'm trying to remember. I may be completely wrong on this, so any Marvel fans are more than welcome to correct us in future. I seem to recall there's a storyline where War Machine takes over as Iron Man because Tony Stark is just so ill that he can't do it anymore.
It's after,
and actually, they end up fighting in a story arc.
Right. I know Tony's out of commission. After Demon in the Bottle, when he had a problem with alcoholism.
Yeah, but that's the one. Yeah.
I don't know if they'll be bold enough to cover that in a subsequent movie because of obviously the negative association for Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a bit too... I mean, he's kind of fallen into that Tony Stark role anyway. It would be a bit too close to home, perhaps.
I think so, because he's almost inseparable from the character now, isn't he?
Yes, very much so.
But when I first started reading... Sorry, go on, Rob.
I was going to say to the point where I can't really see him picture. I can't picture him in any other films.
No,
like because he doesn't really do it for me as Sherlock Holmes.
No,
but I wonder if that's. I haven't seen The Judge.
That's an amazing movie.
The Solo
is that the one with Robert Duvall?
Yes,
in it.
Yeah,
yes, I know the one.
The bathroom scene.
The Soloist is spectacular as well.
He was good in because it was Gothica, wasn't it? His comeback film with Halle Berry.
Yes,
Robert Downey Jr. He turns up in that, and he was really good in that. And I thought, you know, even though I thought that movie was kind of naff, I thought he was brilliant. So I know he can do other stuff. It's just now I couldn't picture him playing any other part.
No.
Like I say, he doesn't really do it for me as Sherlock Holmes, but that's because I don't really get that Sherlock Holmes. To me, it doesn't feel like Sherlock Holmes of the kind of classic feel. It feels like if they'd just taken the name off and just said, oh, he's a Victorian detective who's brilliant, a bit like Sherlock Holmes, I'd have been a lot happier with that film. Mm. It just doesn't feel right as Sherlock Holmes because I like I'm a big fan of the books and some of the TV adaptations they've done. But he just doesn't really resonate for me as Holmes because he just strikes me as a bit too, he's just not right. I don't know what it is. It just doesn't gel for me.
It was a very modern, it was that Victorian era viewed through a very modern, like a contemporary lens, really, with Guy Ritchie.
Yeah. I mean, it's not to take away from Guy Ritchie as a director because he's made some fantastic stuff. I mean, obviously, Snatch is a classic, just an excellent, excellent, enjoyable film.
But his style of filmmaking it's hyper stylized, isn't it?
Yes, and it's very distinctive as well.
Yeah.
It's just that for me, like I say, if he just said, "I'm making a detective movie, it's set in Victorian England." Think Sherlock Holmes, but with a Guy Ritchie twist, I'd have been like, okay, fine, I'm on board. But it's the fact is, like, it is Sherlock Holmes. I'm like, nah, it's not, though, is it? You know, it just doesn't feel right. And I mean, I'm not suggesting that I'd say that to Guy Ritchie, but, you know, it's just like, no, come on. But that's how it feels to me, is it just doesn't feel quite right, you know?
Yeah.
So on the comic theme, which are you excited to see? It doesn't necessarily have to be more one than the other, but are you excited for Civil War and are you excited for Batman Superman?
More excited for Batman Superman, I would say.
Okay.
Civil War for me.
Are you excited for Batman Superman, Mark?
I will see it.
That's a good answer. That's fine. That tells me everything I need to know, really.
And I will probably watch it on my PlayStation 4 because that's where it belongs.
Okay,
I'm not a big fan. I've got similar issues with the Superman character that you have. I think it's very difficult when you write a character as a god. It's very difficult to give him any
invest
unless you put everything that's important to him at risk. Then you've got your stakes, right? And I don't see Batman bitch slapping Amy Adams in this movie, so I don't really understand.
No.
What is going on? I'm not sure I really like Zack Snyder's approach to Superman in Man of Steel. I did watch it again on my flight out a
couple of weeks ago. I need to watch it before I see Batman Superman.
And I must say, I enjoyed it more on this viewing than on previous viewings.
Maybe it's because we were expecting so much. We spoke about this at length, didn't we, Mark?
Yeah, there are too many missteps. The whole thing, Jonathan Kent's... I mean, this is another podcast in and of itself, and perhaps we should focus on Superman when we're closer to that film's release date, maybe on episode 3 of this podcast. But I do think that Zack Snyder made a whole bunch of missteps with Man of Steel, regardless of whether or not it's objectively a good movie. There are issues in there. But I am so caught up in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah,
everything they're doing is working so well for me, and it's more about fun. There's more fun in there. I know that there's some dramatic elements in there, but I still have a blast watching those films. And I thought Man of Steel was a little bit too dour.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm looking forward to it, because I think it needs to make up for Man of Steel. That's why I'm kind of looking forward to it. Whereas all the other Marvel films have all been fine. So I'm trying. I'm excited that it's going to be a bit more up my alley.
Okay.
That's what she said as well. Layer black ops. Right, should we wrap it up there then, chaps?
We've had a
jolly good discussion.
Yes. Yeah, sorry if we've gone, like I say, sorry if I've gone a bit on a bit of a tear this one. I'm not usually one for ranty vents, but that particular Ghostbusters thing has been bugging me, and the thing about Daisy Ridley really ticked me off.
I totally agree.
Well, you're going to let
how wrong it was.
You're going to let about 3,000 people know your feelings now.
Yeah, well, I'll take it.
Also, I think we need to make it quite clear that Steve isn't a sexist or a racist.
We hope.
We hope, as far as we know.
I've only mentioned the race thing in relation to a big black cock, because it was black.
You do seem to have a fixation.
Well, I've discussed it at length.
Is that? Can I hear your printer going? Are you printing that off? Or is that a laminator I can hear? What are you doing?
It's a 3D printer.
Oh, well, there you go.
Steve, why would you just forwarded me a billboard rental confirmation?
Right, that's us done then. Contact thanks, details are in the show notes. Otherwise,
yeah,
we'll see you next week.
Ta-da!
Bye-bye.